Hey, coming up on the Starlight Pit podcast, we talk about our favorite Chewbacca moments. We also talk about some rumors that have been rolling around. Star Wars Rebels, the Black Series, Jet Lucas at the Winter London Film and Comic Convention, J.J. Abrams, Harrison Ford, and of course, things that make you go, All that and more coming up on this episode of the Starlight Pit podcast. It's a good one, and it starts right now.
We just got to the Sarlacc pit.
And the powerful Pleiades.
The almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All-powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc Pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts, Matt Krenke and Chris Hoffice Planet, for this round of discussions.
Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to the Sarlacc Pit podcast, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com. Two great sites, and we thank them for their support of the podcast. This is episode number 69 for October 9th, 2013. I am your co-host, Matt the Crankster. Cranky, and on the other side of the virtual podcast microphone, Memphis, Tennessee, Chris Hoth, Ice Planet Smith. What's up, my friend? It's just me and you today.
Yeah, it's just me and you. We've had some trouble kind of trying to get people together here in the last couple of weeks. It's just been a real hard.
Yeah, it has, you know, my work and their schedules. And hey, it happens sometime. Life gets in the way of podcasting. Yep. I can't believe it. We got to start, we got to change that somehow. I don't know. We'll figure that out. But we got a ton of news to talk about, so it's good to have just me and you this time. So let's see what's going on.
Hello there. You're listening to the Sarlacc Pit podcast, an elegant podcast for a more civilized age. You can go about your business. Move along. Move along.
So the first news story is kind of just broke today, Chris. It's you know, there's always, like, it's crazy every day. There's, like, something else going on, new rumors and stuff like that. But they're talking like we're going to get a teaser trailer for Episode 7 in April 4th, 2014?
Yeah.
In front of Captain America, the Winter Soldier. So
needed people to go see that movie.
Yeah, I know. Marvel. Hey, they know what they're doing, man. They know how to promote this stuff. And but you know, that's I don't know, I'm not like a huge surprise to me. I knew we were going to get some kind of tease. I was thinking I don't know, maybe at Celebration we were going to get something huge, but man, this is not too far away, Chris. This is only a few months away, 2014. They're going to have some kind of a teaser. Are we going to get a full-on rendered CGI type teaser, or is this going to be something like, it's going to say, like, some of these teasers where they come out and they're like the title and that's it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are we going to get that, or are we going to get something really cool? I don't know. What do you think?
I think it'll be something cool. I don't know if we'll get to see very many images. I think the first thing that popped in my head was the Attack of the Clones teaser trailer, where you just got some images and Vader breathing.
Right.
Now, I'm kind of thinking maybe they'll play along like the original Star Wars trailers, where it just introduced the characters.
Right.
I think that'd be awesome if they could do something. And who's to say they don't do something like, if you remember The Empire Strikes Back, the very early teaser where it was nothing but concept art.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, talk about each character and it'd, bam, throw up an image concept of Bespin or something, you know.
Yeah,
I think whatever we'll get, then, you know, people are going to flock to go see this thing. I know I'll be there. It's just another incentive to go see this movie.
Yeah, really. And it's going to be one of those, you know, meet Joe Black type things again, Chris. You know, I mean, even though this is actually a movie you're going to want to stay and see, especially for us Star Wars fans. But You know, you brought up that Attack of the Clones teaser. That thing was a freaking cool trailer. It was just like a heartbeat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was just like a thumping. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just some really fantastic images. And wow, that was one of the better trailers I've seen, right next to episode one. That trailer was unbelievable as well. But yeah, I love that. I think they call it the breathing trailer, if I remember right.
Breathing.
Yeah, it was breathing, not a heartbeat. It was the it was Vader breathing.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. We're on it now.
It'll be on a movie that I'll go and watch the movie.
Right, right. Yeah.
I'd go see that trailer and then leave because it was on something I didn't care anything about.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there's so many other. I mean, they also talked today about casting and release date rumors that could actually happen as of this podcast within a couple of days here. So we're talking, you know, within this weekend, the 11th or 12th or whatever it is, will be. So, yeah, lots of stuff. We'll see what happens. You know, maybe that'll happen right after we get this episode posted. We'll get a ton of news. And if so, hey, we'll just come right back and talk about it. But stay tuned, man. Stay tuned. We'll see. It's been almost a year, Chris, since we learned. And we've only got a few things. So it'd be nice to get some really, really meaty stuff. Speaking of meaty stuff, wow, Rebels, the teaser happened. I think it was yesterday, I think. And we got a 15-second teaser on Disney XD, and this is what it sounded like.
To battle the Empire, a rebel alliance will form. The Jedi will rise, and you will know the power of the Force. Star Wars Rebels coming in.
So there you go, Star Wars Rebels coming 2014. So let's, you know, it was a cool trailer. You know, were we expecting a little more? Maybe. I was thought maybe we'd get some kind of a couple characters or something. I don't know, but that's probably just, now that I think about it, it's like, you know, they're not going to do that right now. They're going to wait. They're not especially going to do it on a Disney XD program that aired at 5 o'clock, you know, Pacific time. Is they're going to probably wait for something a little bigger to do actual footage or characters or something like that. But you know what, it was pretty cool nonetheless. You got the Star Destroyer, Chris. Wow. And go ahead.
I thought it, you know, I didn't know what to expect because they basically said that it was only going to be 15 seconds and it wasn't going to show you any characters or nothing. I'm like, well, then what are they going to show?
Right.
So when you sent it to me, I was like, oh my gosh, that was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, what they said, the Star Destroyer coming up, like the opening of Star Wars, and then having the Star Wars Rebels on the back end, I thought was really cool. And what they said, the Empire will rise, the Jedi will form. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. I was pumped.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, looking at that, and you can kind of get an idea of what the animation is going to look like. And it looked like it was going to be a lot, I don't know, maybe it's a lot different, but significantly different than the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. Looked like a little more realistic, like they were really trying to draw the, you know, they're going to animate this Star Destroyer like it's coming right out of the movie. So that was exciting for me to see. I hope they stick with this.
Yeah, I love it. I think it looks great. I think, to me, you know, they said it was going to be kind of coming off of the Ralph McQuarrie concept. And to me, it kind of looked like left center of McQuarrie.
Yeah.
You know, I think it looks fantastic. I like the look. I think it's something completely drastically different from, like you said, the Clone Wars. And I like the fact that it looks more animated than the Clone Wars, looking more and more like almost CG animation.
Right, yeah. That's kind of what I was looking for, yeah. Good point.
I love both of it. I think this looks fantastic. I think it's a brilliant idea to do it completely different.
Yeah, you gotta do something different. You got to change it up. And this is exactly where I was hoping this would go. You know, it was a classic shot, you know, just like Star Wars A New Hope, except there was no blockade runner in front of it. But a little homage there to Star Wars. And speaking of Star Wars, they also, this has jumped in my head too. There was rumor going around that they might, this is where they got the rumor that there might be more news coming soon, because they posted the very first Star Wars trailer on StarWars.com today. And people were wondering, you know, that's kind of odd. Why would they do that? You know, is there something more to that? Is there something coming? So I think that's kind of where the rumors started rolling, that something may be coming. Yeah.
what I meant by looking at the old trailer. Mm-hmm. You know, if you remember that very first trailer and the one that they put up there, I clicked on it, and as soon as it started to play, I'm like, okay, I knew exactly what it was. I was like, what is this? But then it dawned on me. That's where I was thinking of what we might see with Captain America trailer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. You know, it just aliens from a billion, you know, worlds and all this. And it does, it shows all the characters, doesn't mention, like, say their names. Mm-hmm. You know, just princess and, you know, yeah. So, yeah, I think that's kind of maybe it's a hint.
Yeah, you never know.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, as I said, stay tuned. We'll see what happens within this weekend if something comes out. So here is another good one. Jet Lucas was at this Winter London Film and Comic Convention, and there was actually a 13-minute YouTube video of this interview, and it's very interesting to hear what he has to say. He really gives some good insight. I mean, one of the better interviews, not because the interview questions were so good, but that Jet was just like, he's open about stuff. He was not saying anything, but, you know, let's take a listen to a couple things. I took these out of context of the interview. I kind of moved them around. And here's what Jet Lucas talks about. He mentions learning that his dad has been writing Star Wars, and this is what he had to say about it.
About it in the family before he kind of made a final decision?
A little bit. I mean, we knew probably a year prior he had started writing and kind of researching and starting his whole little process. And about halfway through that process is when the idea of selling to Disney came up. And so that, once those two collided, that's when he kind of sat down and said, okay, I'm going to do this. But he didn't really, he just kind of mentioned it offhandedly, like it wasn't a big deal. Like we were eating dinner, or I was eating dinner, I wasn't even with him. He called me. It was just like a normal conversation. He's like, I asked how he was doing, and he was like, oh, I started writing it. And I was like, oh, like, you know, your little, like, whatever you're focusing on now. He's like, no, it's Star Wars and such. And then, like, moved on. And I was like, let's back up. Let's back up like a sentence. What are you writing now?
Yeah.
And so that's when he kind of dropped that bomb. And it was nice because he's happiest when he's writing and when he's doing something with his time.
So interesting, Chris. You know, again, this is not necessarily new news, but he does confirm that, yeah, a year prior to all this stuff going on, he was writing new Star Wars. I mean, this is what he always said. He never wanted to do it. You know, he was done with it. But sure enough, he was writing it because, as Jet says, you know, that this is what he loves to do. I mean, he loves this franchise, and it's pretty obvious. But Jet kind of confirms it there, and you know, how he drops that bomb. It's kind of funny how he talks about it. He says, "Wait." Even Jet's going, "Hey, wait, back up. What's going on here? Star Wars? You know, I mean, it's just what it is. You know, it's kind of cool to hear Jet and talk about his dad and that he's happy about writing it. So yeah, Chris, he knew long before that Star Wars was being written.
2 years ago he started writing the thing.
Well, he said I guess now it would be yeah because this was a year before the sale, apparently, or about halfway through, he says in this clip, halfway through his writing process is when he started entertaining the sale. So he talked about that. And this kind of dovetails into his next statement, Chris. This interviewer asks, what do you want to happen in the new Star Wars? And he talks about just what he wants. It's kind of a surprising answer.
Talking about the future at the moment, what would you like to see? If you could, you know, wave a magic wand and have anything happen in the future Star Wars episodes 7, 8, and 9, what would you ideally love to see as a fan or as someone who's been involved in the past?
That's a tough question to answer because, and to tease you guys more, I already know what happens.
Spill!
Oh, that can't happen. But I don't know. I'm happy with what's going to happen. Is that an answer? Can that be a thing? I mean, I don't know, I would like to see it follow a new generation. I'm not saying that's what happens. I'm saying that's what I would like. Because to me, these next movies are about the next generation, as the prequels are about a new generation, and the originals were for that generation.
Okay, so here's another clip. He says that he already knows, Chris, he already knows what's going to happen in this new, it sounds like he said, this new trilogy. So mm-hmm. I don't know. This lends a little more credence to the fact that, you know, maybe George Lucas has more to do with this, these movies than maybe we even realize, you know. If Jet's saying that he knows what's going to happen, then these movies got to be, you know, based on all Lucas's stuff, and then JJ's going to take it and maybe put a little twist on it, or Kinberg, or, you know, these guys. You know, what does that sound to you like, Chris? I mean,
this is how I have always looked at it. You know, they mentioned that George wrote it, and then you hear him in the article that was written, and we didn't actually necessarily hear every bit of it here, but George sat down and wrote this out. Now, whether he wrote the whole script, who knows? But we know when he did the original trilogy, he said that I had to have a backstory. So I had to go and write down the backstory to get me to this point of the trilogy that he made the original trilogy. So this is another story that he's been thinking on. And I honestly think with what we've gotten before with George and everything, I think this is just like a major outline of what the story is. And then JJ, Kathleen, and the screenwriters and everybody, they will embellish on it and expand it and give it more meat. But I think basically that's kind of what I'm picturing, is that George has done the major outline of what is to happen. And then, of course, JJ and them, you know, they'll have some freedom to kind of do this, that, and the other. And let's face it, George, no matter how much they say he's not involved, he's involved. It's his story. As he said before, Kathleen calls him constantly to discuss things with him. He's just not going to be, from what I understand, that he won't be working there on a day-to-day basis. But come on, Kathleen's going to be calling him every day, every other day. I'm sure he'll be down there once a week. Just to see how things are going.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right about the overall outline. That makes a lot of sense because, you know, like Jet Lucas says, you know, he knows what's going to happen. Now, that could be just an overview, like you said, a big outline. Like, let's just say it was on the New Jedi Order. Well, he knows it's about the New Jedi Order, but there's so many other intricacies that can happen in there and story ideas and all that. So, yeah, that's right. Makes a lot of sense. So he might know the overarching one. Yeah.
You know, Luke, Leia, and Han, he might know what, you know, they're handing it over, what's going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, a new Jedi Order, which I honestly think that's where it's got to go. It's got to go somewhere around a Jedi Academy, new Jedi Order, something.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to see some lightsaber action, man. I tell you what, I'm so jazzed to see what they do with, you know, we had the original trilogy, and this is the style of fighting they did. Prequel trilogy ramped it up big time, and then the sequel trilogy, I'm looking forward to go even higher.
Yeah, we're going to see some people probably swinging around on vines, lightsabers, some people jumping and fighting.
Yeah,
I think we're going to see some really good stuff.
Yeah, I just wonder if they're going to bring in some of these force powers that we've seen in canonical stuff like The Force Unleashed, where you have Jedi powers that we have not seen before in any form, not in movies, not in the Clone Wars TV show, as far as canon stuff I'm talking about, where, you know, the big one is The Force Unleashed. They had this force, is called the Repulse, where he'd kind of float in the air for a minute, drag all the energy in and kind of tuck in himself, and then explode out, and just this ball of force energy would go, you know, it's just, wow, to see something like that, and some other crazy force powers. That's what I'm hoping they kind of stick to, or kind of go to. You know, Jet kind of finishes that up, Chris, with a comment on a lot of these rumors that we're going to see not Star Trek characters, but especially main one, make his way into the Star Wars universe. And here's what he has to say about that.
This is a couple of fantastic rumors you've seen. What were the most fantastic ones?
Let's see. There was one, I don't know who came up with this, that my dad was going to be starring in it. That was interesting. There's one that There's been like rumors of, which I thought were pretty crazy, like some of the actors from Star Trek were gonna play in Star Wars, which I know would never happen. And then one where they like collide, which was interesting, but I don't think that's gonna happen either.
So he's talking about Star Trek actors, Chris, and he says he knows that would never happen. Now, you know, we've had one of the biggest rumors is that Cumberbatch is going to be possibly read for the role, or he might be in it, or it's all hush hush and all this and that. So I don't know. Take what Jet says and take it how you will. He says there's going to be no Star Trek actors in it. You know, is he talking about like, Captain Kirk? Who's the original Captain Kirk? I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden. Shatner. I mean, is he talking like Shatner and these guys like that, you know, or is he talking like the current ones? So there you go. That's what Jet Lucas has to say. It was a really cool interview, and kind of opened up a little bit. I met him once at the Star Wars Clone Wars, the Darth Maul arc in San Francisco, and he was a cool guy. You know, he talked about going into the production side of movies and stuff like that. That's what he wanted to do, and I think he's doing that now. He mentioned in this interview that he's working on a TV show, and if he does come to work on Star Wars, because they talked about him also maybe doing some work for the new trilogy with JJ, that it'd be uncredited stuff and that he would just be behind the scenes. So, but yeah, if you haven't seen it, check it out. And it's on YouTube all over the place now. It's out there. So I don't know. Did you get a chance to look at that, Chris? Or are you just hearing it for the first time?
This is the first time I heard it. I got a chance to read Brian Young's article on it, but I hadn't had the chance to watch the video yet.
Okay, good. Yeah, I know it's pretty cool. And speaking of other rumors and other actors and stuff, Harrison Ford was in Europe. He's working on Ender's Game, promoting that. And it was a crazy interview, and I'll play it for you. It's going to be hard to kind of pick out. But he's talking to this French is it French? I can't remember what it was, but it's in Europe. So he's talking to this French website, and so it's going to be in French, so it's going to be hard to understand, but you can hear Harrison Ford in the background. And I got to list a little comment after you hear this this clip.
Vous alliez continuer dans cette aventure, vous allez encore tourner en 2015 le volet 7 de Star Wars. On le savait déjà à l'époque ou pas?
Only signed up for
vous savez, moi,
one,
je n'ai signé que pour un seul film. Donc, mon contrat, c'était que pour un seul film.
Deal,
c'est ça qui était prévu.
For three,
ensuite, on m'avait proposé d'en faire trois, mais je ne voulais pas le faire.
J'ai
pris chaque épisode à la fois en jugeant sur ses qualités propres. Chaque épisode qu'on m'a proposé, son utilité pour moi-même, à mes yeux. Et c'est ainsi que j'étais amené à tourner trois épisodes. Et pour l'instant, on n'a pas encore annoncé si je ferai un quatrième Star Wars.
C'est pas officiel,
so I have no answer to the question.
Donc j'ai pas de réponse encore à vous donner.
I have never said whether or not.
J'ai même jamais dit que j'allais.
Well, we'll see.
So he says, we'll see, Chris. And it's funny because he's just teasing this guy big time, like he does at every other thing he does. But you know what? If you didn't hear what he said, it's basically he's just kind of, you know, trying to get away from the question because obviously he can't say anything. But he says, we'll see. And if that's a big enough clue, I don't know what is. But it just makes me, every time I hear stuff like this, I'm like, I might have mentioned this before, but I just don't get it anymore. Like, what is the big deal about announcing Mark Hamill is going to be at Carrie Fisher? I mean, what in the world are we waiting for if they're going to be in it? Is it going to be any shock to anybody anymore when they get, are they saving up for this big reveal? Like, oh, guess what? The big three it's going to be a big to do. And we're all going to sit here and go, well, yeah, we kind of figured that. I mean, what's the big deal? You know, I just get frustrated sometimes because I don't understand why casting and all this is such a big deal anymore. I just don't get it, you know? And maybe you can help me out, Chris. What's going on? Am I just getting old? You know, am I getting old, crotchety old man?
some things I see, you know, certain movies I can see not wanting to reveal the character, you know, who's going to play certain characters and stuff. But the only thing I can think of is they haven't signed the deal yet. That's the only thing I can think of. And you think, what are they waiting on?
Yeah, that's right. No, yeah, it's like if you want.
Yeah, I mean, we knew when we got the news of Disney, shortly after that, we knew from what Mark Hamill said that George, you know, asked all three of them to come in and, you know, have dinner.
Yeah.
So he sat down and talked to them about it. So they all knew about it. So,
yeah.
You know, and Harrison's, you know, he's always playing that, you know, mess up. We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, it's just frustrating. Like, yeah.
Get on with it already. You know?
Yeah. I mean, we're almost in 2014. And, you know, we still have nothing, no information. And I understand the build-up and the hype machine and all that. You know, I get it. But is this really, like, is this what you're going to be hyping as the big three? I mean, if and when it does come out and they say, yes, guess who's returning? It's going to be Mark Hamill's coming back as Luke. I'm going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, that's, wow, big news. Yeah, we already knew that, you know. Give me something more, you know.
Funny because, you know, Star Wars is like to keeping everything tight-lipped as possible. Well, we know about those three. The news is, who are they going to cast as Chewie?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, some of that more secretive stuff would be whoever is going to be in the movie that we've not seen before, whether it's, you know, a new Jedi Order or whatever. Yeah, maybe I can see, understand keeping that a little bit tighter under wraps until you feel like, hey, now we feel like releasing this or a title or something like that. I get that, but for something like this, where they've talked about the big three, big four, whatever, for forever, and you know, every website in the world has been talking about it and everything, it's just like, okay, get on with it now. It's we expect it now. So what happens if they don't come back? You know, is everybody going to be going freaking out like, oh my gosh, they're not coming back? So, and you're talking about Chewie. They did have that. I did see that story where they're looking for actors 7'3", you know, slender build with a this or that or whatever. So obviously that's a Wookiee, or, I mean, not obviously, but it certainly lends itself to be a Wookiee because that's the exact same measurements as Peter Mayhew. And it would be so cool to see Peter Mayhew get back in that suit. Now, I know he can't right now. He's just went through surgery and he's trying to get back his, you know, back to walking again. But even if you just had him, let's say he was sitting in that cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, you know, let him do that or something, you know, let the Chewie Peter Mayhew get back in that suit somehow. Like I said, maybe not walking, but if he's a co-pilot, you know, you don't necessarily, he doesn't have to walk for that. He can stand there and do that because, you know, like Vader in the suit, he had his special mannerisms that, you know, was Vader, and Chewie definitely had the quirks and the mannerisms of Peter Mayhew. And it's going to be, you can't do that with another actor. So it'd be so cool to see him get back in the Chewbacca suit again. But we'll see. We'll see what happens, whether Chewie's going to be back or Wookiees or whatever. But certainly looks like that may happen. So that's what's going on there. Chris, we also had some information on you collectors out there, for you collectors, the Black Series Wave 3. What do you got for that?
Yes, I'm sitting here getting ready, and all of a sudden I start seeing some people post up stuff. Our friends over at the Jedi Archives?
Jedi Temple Archives?
Yes.
Jedi Temple.
I draw it up on. They posted up, and Mark at Yoda's News also posted up some pictures. And Mark didn't say anything on his pictures. He just posted them up. And Jedi Temple Archives mentioned that this was way 6-inch weight. So that's what I'm going by.
Okay.
I have six figures, and it's one of them seems really kind of strange for 6-inch, but here we go. Torin Farr. Do you know who that is?
Torin Farr. Yeah.
You know what? You just can't. That's the lady in Hoth that, if I'm not mistaken, that's the one that's...
The one that's talking... Yeah, go ahead.
Ion Cannon.
Yeah, right.
And then we got Snowtrooper Commander, Luke, Dagobah outfit on Dagobah, okay. Yoda on Dagobah, Wedge Antilles, Snowspeeder Pilot, and then Darth Vader with the Revenge of the Sith armor.
Okay.
And, okay. I mean, the pictures look cool. The Luke and Yoda look really, really nice. Yoda looks cool with the, you know, fabric cape and or cloak and everything and his cane. So, and Luke, it shows Luke having the backpack. So I'm assuming Luke is coming with the backpack. Seems to me like he's put the backpack with Yoda.
So this is, they're going to actually have six figures in this series? Uh-oh.
I guess.
Wow, you know, that's going to be a hurting on a wallet.
Jedi Temple said these were 6-inch. Mark didn't mention anything when he posted up the pictures that they were 6 or the 3 3/4. They look to be 6-inch because when you see the pictures, and especially the Luke, when you see the joints and everything in his arm, you could tell that it's more articulated than the normal 3 3/4 inch.
So they're getting away from the, man, I liked it when they just did the 4 because that was a little easier to handle, you know, especially collectors on a budget like myself, where you can, this could be waves
3 and 4. We could get 3 of each.
Oh, okay. Yeah, true. Yeah, that's actually a pretty good list. I mean, Torn Far, I can take it out or leave that one. But, man, you got Yoda, Luke, Wedge, Darth Vader. Of course, I'm going to get that one. But, you know, I'm, on this particular 6-inch series, I'm trying to be a completist on this, so I'm going to get all of them. But that's still a fantastic run right there. Like I said, Torn Far, whatever, you know, it's just one of those characters, take it or leave it. But, yeah, that's a nice wave right there, Chris. I'm on that one. I'm liking what I'm seeing there. The 6, that's going to be, like I said, that's going to be rough on the wallet, but at $20 a pop. But, you know, if they keep doing it like they're doing, where they're spacing these waves out, far enough in advance that you have time to save, then I'm cool with that. It's good. I'm loving the 6-inch wave. I'm all over this, so I can't wait. I got my wave 2 pre-ordered. I'm just waiting on that. It should be coming out, Chris, within a month, I would think.
I saw it was mid-November, so about another month.
Excellent. So what else? Anything else in the news going on that we need to hit before we get to our topic?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything that we had going on.
Rumors
of games and stuff, but
yeah. Yeah, I know, there's always that. You know, and then there was also, we didn't talk about this, and it's been talked about on a couple other podcasts. J.J. Abrams was on a PBS show with this guy named Tavis Smiley, and he talked a lot of stuff. It was about a 20-minute interview, 25, something like that, and he talked just about a little bit of everything, you know, his TV stuff, Star Trek, Star Wars, of course. And the one thing I took out of it was he did talk about his love of Star Wars and how it affected Star Trek. And we've heard that before. But he also talked about how Marvel is going to approach the sequel trilogy. And the interviewer, Tavis, he said, you know, a lot of people might be worried that they're going to kiddify it. And, you know, J.J. Abrams just came right back and said, no. You know, relax on that. Everybody chill out. Everybody, you know, it's cool. I got this. You know, Marvel knows that Star Wars fans are passionate and they don't want to see it kiddified. And I never really thought Marvel was going to do that anyway. I'm not sure where they got that, but they haven't kiddified any of the Marvel movies, so I don't know why they would do that with Star Wars. But if anybody out there is worried about kiddifying Star Wars, don't worry. JJ says he's taking care of it and Marvel is taking care of it. So everything will be good. No kiddifying of the Star Wars universe in the sequel trilogy. All right, Chris, so now we're going to talk about one of the new segments that we started here a little while ago, things that make you go home. And, you know, lately we've been talking about Admiral Ozzel being a spy. We talked about R2-D2, a couple other things. And today, since we're going to be talking about our favorite Chewbacca moments in a few minutes here, I'm going to keep it with Chewbacca and ask you guys to come along with me on something that I've wondered about for a long, ever since Star Wars came out. This is another one of those things that I've always thought about, and it's just, why did Han turn around in Star Wars and rescue or help fight off Darth Vader in the trench run and help Luke destroy the Death Star? And this week's things that make you go Robbie Bob All right, Chris. Now, you didn't know when we started this what I was going to do. So this is going to be catching you a little off guard. Let's see what you think about it. But like I said, I'm going to take you to Star Wars: A New Hope. You know, there's a scene where Han is collecting his bounty. You know, he's getting ready to go pay off Jabba, and he's collecting his stuff. And Luke comes over and talks to him for a minute, and he leaves. And then we get the great scene at the end. But I want to ask you guys after. Let's just listen to this clip real quick, and then we'll discuss it.
All right. All right. Well, take care of yourself, Han. I guess that's what you're best at, isn't it?
Hey, Luke. May the Force be with you. What are you looking at? I know what I'm doing.
I have you now. What?
Yahoo!
Look out!
And there you go. So let me ask you this, Chris, and those of you listening. Chewbacca, I think, has something to do with Han turning around. You know, all the credit goes to Han. You know, he gets the medal. Him and Luke get the medal. Chewie doesn't even get a medal. We all know that. He's a crazy croc. He's a co-pilot. Give him a medal, too. You know, on the same lines, why didn't Wedge get a medal as well? But anyway, we'll talk about that another time. But I think that Chewbacca had more to do, or had something to do, with Han turning around and changing his mind. Because, you know, in that scene that I just played, you can see Chewbacca's there helping him load. And you can see Han's kind of trying to figure out, you know, hey, I got to do this. I have to pay off this debt. But then as Luke walks away, you hear Chewie kind of mumble something. And we don't know what he says, but from what Han says, maybe Chewie's kind of asking a question of Han, like, you know, is this the right thing to do? Are we doing the right thing? Even Han says, you know, hey, what are you looking at? I know what I'm doing. Almost like Chewie said, hey, are you sure you know what you're doing? Are you sure this is the right thing to do? I just, you know, when you hear that and you hear Han's response, it makes me think that, you know, there's something more, that Chewie had something to do with it. They're flying away, and Chewie's still berating him as they're cruising away in the galaxy, and he's like, "Come on, Han, you know, we've developed a relationship with these rebels, you know. Hey, Chewie's actually had dealings in Episode 3. I mean, we know Chewie has a backstory with the rebels, in their infancy, just, or before they were the rebels, you know, with the Jedi. So I think Chewie may have said something like, you know, hey, you know, he's, I don't know if he knew if Luke was a Jedi or he knew Obi-Wan. I think obviously he's had to have heard of Obi-Wan, right, in the Clone Wars somehow, maybe, you know. So I don't know. I've always thought that Chewie had something else to do, or something to do with Han turning that ship around and helping Luke destroy Death Star number one. What do you think, Chris? Did you ever think about that?
Not really.
Really? I got something that you never thought of. Wow.
Well, I kind of thought of, well, I figured Chewie, you know, he said something there, and
yeah,
and it's like, oh, what are you looking at? I know what I'm doing. I think he might have said something, or just the fact that, you know, Han knew he felt guilty. He knew he should have stayed, and he knew that he should have been helping.
Right.
And I'm sure Chewie might have had a little, you know, comment or a little nudge somewhat, but
yeah.
I mean, I don't think it was all Han, but I mean, I do think Chewie had a little bit to do with it.
Yeah.
But I never really thought that much of it, but I don't know, because, you know, when they get back, Leia's, I knew you could, yeah, couldn't stay away. Yeah. Drawing a blank, she said, but.
Right.
It's like, okay, you know, I kind of like to think maybe he sat down and discussed it with Chewie. How about that?
Yeah, maybe so. Like I said, maybe they're flying away, and Chewie kind of bugs them again about it and says, hey, you know, it's just, like I said, you know, and Han's line, it kind of doesn't make sense, because Chewie's actually, you know, speaking his language, but Han says, what are you looking at? So I don't know if that was something they put in post, you know, like it was just Chewie just kind of staring at him and then Han says his line, but they added the words in there. So it makes me think Chewie is saying something like, you know, are we doing the right thing? So that's always been one of those things that made me go, is that really what's going on? So there you go. That's this week's things that make you go home. Did Chewie have something to do with Han turning around and helping Luke destroy Death Star number one? So with that, Chris, we're going to stay on Chewie. We're going to stay on Chewbacca, the walking carpet. We're going to stay on him. And we're going to talk about some of our favorite Chewbacca moments. Chewbacca! Yes, what a Wookiee he is. You know what's funny, Chris, is that I kind of beat up on Chewie a few episodes ago when I talked about some of my, and it was more of a whimsical look at some of our overrated characters, and I had put Chewie in there just because a lot of the clumsy things he did. But you know what? It is definitely outweighed by all the cool stuff that Chewie did. And I have, you know, six or seven of my favorite moments from Chewie, and I know you have roughly the same. I guess I'll start off with maybe, I'll start off with one, Chris, that it's not, most of my stuff comes from the movies and the TV show, The Clone Wars, but there is one moment that is EU-centric, and it is, of course, probably, geez, arguably one of the most memorable moments of the expanded universe. You know what I mean? It's of course the 1999 novel Vector Prime, where Chewbacca sacrificed his own life to save that of Han's son Anakin, and you know, it's one of those tragedies that came out of that first book, and it just blew everybody away. I remember just the, and this is the time, Chris, before social media, so I remember it just blew up in the Star Wars community. And this is before all that, you know, before Facebook and Twitter and all that. Can you imagine how that would be now? So Vector Prime, they kill off Chewie in the first book. And that just set that whole series. It was just crazy, crazy stuff. So that would probably be, like, as far as expanded universe and maybe a honorable mention would be, that's one of the craziest moments. One of the,
yeah,
you know, arguably, like I said, the most memorable moment in the expanded universe was Chewie sacrificing himself. I mean, there's no better hero than that right there, you know. So that would be, I don't think that was one of yours, was it, Chris?
Oh, no.
Okay,
no,
good.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, no, I just, something that I thought of when I was thinking about Chewie, you know, I was going through all these cool moments and I go, wow, I forgot, you know, it just came into my head. Wow, that's a crazy one. But let's get into some other ones here. Chris, I'll start off, and I'm going to take you to, let's go, these are, again, no particular order, just some of my favorite. I'll save maybe my favorite for the last, but this is Star Wars, and Chewie and playing a little game with R2-D2.
Now be careful, R2. You made a fair move. Screaming about it can't help you.
I don't have it. It's not wise to upset a Wookiee.
But, sir, nobody worries about upsetting a droid.
It's because a droid don't pull people's arms out of their sockets when they lose. Wookiees are known to do that.
I see your point, sir. I suggest a new strategy, R2. Let the Wookiee win.
Yes, one of my favorite moments in Star Wars, and of course of Chewbacca, there is him battling R2-D2 at the Sabacc table. And, you know, Chris, this is the first time that we understand, like, how much of a badass Chewie really is. You know, I mean, here's Han, and he talks about, you know, how rookies rip arms out of sockets, you know, if you piss them off, you know, that's what happens. They, you know, they're gonna tear you up. And I think what made it so fun was you got what Han was saying with Chewie folding his arms behind his head as if to imply, you know, yeah, that's right, I'm bad, you know, just, all right, I'm cool. Yeah, listen to what Han says, you know. One of my favorite moments, of course, Chewbacca playing a little Sawbuck there. They're playing Djarik, is that right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. I lost the game there for a second. But, yeah, playing Djarik and just his the comedy in that scene right there, too, with him folding his arm. But that was great. So that was my one of my favorites, Chewbacca playing Djarik with R2-D2 in A New Hope. Chris, what do you got for one of your favorite Chewbacca moments?
Okay, first up, this is from Star Wars. And no, I didn't do that. The Djarik scene.
Okay, good. We're playing a little different.
Nah, I'll leave that one out. That one's like, everybody always thinks of that one. Seems uh-huh. like first. Yeah. All right, this first one is 37 seconds long.
Take over. We've got a bad transmitter. I'll see what I can do.
Three of you, hand me those binders there, will you? Okay. Now, I'm gonna put these on you. Okay. Han, you put those on.
Don't worry, Chewie. I think I know what he has in mind.
I love that scene.
To me, this is where we first see how Chewie is. You know, what you brought up with that other scene, he's just kind of playing it cool, but it's just this little piece. You actually see it. I love the fact that when he walks in, he just yells and knocks that Imperial officer across the room, and then you get that real close-up shot of him showing those teeth. You know, you realize he's still a part animal.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd cut those two together because they kind of, to me, I mean, they're right there together. They go together, so. Yeah, and I love Luke's response and reaction. Like, yeah, this is gonna be easy. And then he growls, "Hey, you put those on."
That was a great line too. Yeah, the delivery from Hamill on that—he just did it perfectly. Where he stutters a little bit, like, "Yeah, he's a little afraid." You know, Luke doesn't know Chewie that well yet, and of course they go on to become great friends and all that. But yeah, that was a great scene, great delivery by Hamill, and yeah. That opening scene where he comes in and just yells, like, you know, it's just like, hey, you know, we're here and it's on. And like you said, it's animal like. A little bit of the animals coming through there, just, and it's, you know, kind of like a battle cry. Hey, it's time to go. It's go time. It's war time. Let's do this. And yeah, fantastic scene. I'm going to keep you. Actually, no, let's go to for my next one. We're going to go to Return of the Jedi, and a funny scene with Chewie, some Ugnaughts, and C-3PO.
Where? Found him in a junk pile.
Oh, what a mess. Chewie, you think you can repair him?
Lando's got people that can fix him.
No thanks.
So, of course, this was a great scene for me. You know, Chewie, the Ugnaughts are playing keep away from Chewie. I mean, come on, how funny is that, you know? They're in, you know, this is after C-3PO has gotten blasted, and then, you know, like I said, he goes there, and it goes to where he's trying to fix C-3PO, and I love that scene because, you know, this is a droid, C-3PO, that Anakin built, so Chewie does his best, you know, he's trying to do what he can, you know, we see him do a lot of working on the Falcon, he seems to kind of not do the right things on the Falcon sometimes, but he's going to go ahead and try to fix Chewie as best he can. And I love the dialogue between Chewie and 3PO when he puts them on backwards, and 3PO's kind of you know, yelling at him. 3PO shows no gratitude. You know, he's trying to fix him, and all he can do is berate him for putting his head on backwards. And you see Chewie finally just give up and, like, turn him off, like, okay, shut up. I've had enough of you. And then he continues to fix him. So love that. Love the little keep away from Chewie, and then Chewie going back in and trying to help out and fix C-3PO and put him back together. And even though he puts him on his back and, yeah, carries him around for the rest of the almost the rest of the movie, but one of my favorite scenes from Return of the Jedi with Chewbacca and C-3PO and a little keep away. What about you, Chris? What do you got for your next one?
All right, I don't have that one, but that is also one of the funnier ones.
Yeah, right.
This next one is from Return of the Jedi, and this one is also kind of humorous.
What, Chewie? What, Chewie? Hey, I don't get it. Yeah, it's just a dead animal, Chewie.
Chewie, you ain't wake up!
Nice work.
Great, Chewie. Great. Always thinking with your stomach.
You take it easy. Let's just figure out a way to get out of this thing. Han, can you reach my lightsaber?
Yeah, sure.
R2, I'm not sure that's such a good idea. It's a very long...
Excellent.
Chewie always thinking with his stomach. You know, I always just kind of got a crack at it. The funniest thing to me in the whole thing is when Luke says, Han, can you reach my lightsaber? And Han's like, yeah, sure. It ain't nowhere near it. Can't yeah. reach it. And he's like, yeah, I can get it.
He's trying to crawl over to it, yeah.
I always wanted to know what the heck Chewie was saying there.
Yeah, like...
Always thinking with your stomach, and he's still talking away.
He's probably going, you know, I'm sorry, I'm just hungry. Jeez. The guy, you know, he's starving. The Wookiee's starving, man. Come on, help him out. No, that was that actually, Chris, was one of those where I talked about in the overrated stuff. I mean, that was one of the things that, you know, Chewie sometimes can be clumsy, can do the wrong thing, could break something, you know. So this is where he's kind of being clumsy, you know. He's thinking with his stomach. He's not putting the mission first. He's putting everybody in jeopardy because he's a little hungry, you know. He's a little... Dinner is served right there, an obvious trap. But that was one of those funny scenes. Again, some great comedy in that scene, like you said, with Han and Chewie just yelling. Like, you can almost hear him. He's probably saying, you know, I'm sorry, or hey, I'm just hungry, man. You know, help me out. So that's kind of what I pulled out of that particular scene. But good scene. Again, we're going different here, Chris. We got a lot of different things. Yeah. This is usually we're kind of, you know, some of the same stuff a lot. So we're definitely on Chewie going in a different direction, so this is cool. Speaking of different directions, I'm going to take you to a whole other direction for my next favorite Chewbacca moment, and this is from The Clone Wars.
Make it quick, General. We're charging by the minute, and if my ship gets damaged, it'll cost you extra.
So what you guys are listening to is, of course, Chewbacca's introduction into the Star Wars, the Clone Wars, the animated series. And this was the third season, the season finale, Chris, of the third season, entitled Wookiee Hunt. And you know what? It was just one of those episodes where, you know, we got teased a lot that Chewbacca was coming back. And this was the episode that did it. But definitely a spot where they showcase the fighting ability of Chewie, and also some of the his technical prowess, because he did start to help work on, I think it was a communication device he was working on, to get a hold of Tarful and the rest of the Wookiees to come help. So it kind of showed both. You know, we got to see him fight for the first time, you know, really battle it out with a bunch of Trandoshan hunters. And he starts out the show as a captive, and then the ship crashes. He comes out, and it's this really cool reveal that Chewie's, you know, he stands up, and this great like reveal. So one of my favorite moments from the Clone Wars is seeing Chewie come back, and then he does again some more fighting, and he helps Ahsoka finish off the deal, and he actually throws her up at one point. He puts his hands in a cup and throws her all the way to the top of this particular housing, you know, building type thing. So definitely one of my favorite moments in a saga was seeing Chewie come back in the Clone Wars. So one of my moments, Chris, Clone Wars. Yeah. I don't know if you don't have any Clone Wars on there, do you?
No, I didn't, but I actually thought about it.
Yeah.
After I'm down.
Wasn't quite good enough, huh?
Yeah. Because I really like my OTs.
Oh, yeah.
T moments, so that's kind of what I went with. This next one is from The Empire Strikes Back, and it's 45 seconds long, and I think it'll be one of everybody's favorites.
What do you think you're doing?
Getting out of here.
And you all alone. Had to be a mistake.
You think that after what you did to Han, the world...
Choice. What are you doing? Trust him! Trust him!
Oh, we understand, don't we, Chief? We had no choice.
Just try it out!
We don't need any of your help. What?
It sounds like Han.
Let's do it just to save Han. Platform.
Chewie.
I always love this scene when he finally goes to let him out to escape. Chewie does not hesitate. Soon as he gets that off, his hands right around his throat. I love the fact that Leia is carrying on a conversation with Luke.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, with Lando.
Yeah.
And then the fact that she asks him, what? I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Deadly choking him. It's just like, what?
Yeah, and Chewie is not letting up either. I mean, he is gonna kill Lando, and you know, it's not even a question. I mean, we don't even question it as a viewer. It's like, yeah, you know, this is Han. This is his buddy. These guys have been together for so long. He's gonna do anything for Han, especially what Han just went through. I mean, Chewie is pissed, and it's all, you know, according to them and according to Chewie and Han and them, it's all Lando's fault. I mean, you heard what Lando said when he comes in to the carbon chamber. You know, he goes, what's going on, buddy? And he says, you know, you're being put into carbon freeze. And so they think that Lando pretty much has everything to do with this. And, you know, Lando's trying to tell him, you know, hey, I had nothing, you know, there's nothing I could do, you know, the Empire. But they think that Lando double-crossed him. So Chewie is going to take it all out on Lando. He's going to kill him right there and make him suffer at that. So,
and I thought Billy Dee did a wonderful job of acting once he lets go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. You would have to say it would have to take you a couple of minutes to recoup from that. So.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I'm going to take you back to Return of the Jedi, or stay in Return of the Jedi, as you were, and talk about one of my... It's one of my favorite moments because it's just one of those scenes where it's a make you feel good scene.
Chewie, is that you? Chewie, I can't see, pal. What's going on? Luke's crazy. He can't even take care of himself, much less rescue anybody. A Jedi Knight. I'm out of it. For a little while, everybody gets delusions of grandeur. All right, pal. All right.
Yeah, I tell you what. It's, like I said, it's one of those feel-good scenes. I see that, and of course, this is when... they're at Jabba's palace, and they're locked up in the jail. And this is the soft side of Chewie. You know, I'd love to see sometimes the soft side of Chewie, Chris. And I love how he breaks down everything that's been going on since since Han was frozen. You know, it sounds like he's given Han this the quick Reader's Digest version of everything that's happened. You know, he's trying to catch him up. And, you know, from the clip, we can hear him that he tells Han about, you know, the plan that Luke has maybe put in place to save them. He's telling about that. And then Han says, you know, Luke can't take care of himself. You know, how is he going to come and do all this? And then, again, of course, Chewie tells Han how he's a Jedi now. And the scene ends with that great, you know, image of Han just cuddled in Chewie's arms. You know, this is like we talked about earlier, how why Chewie gets so mad sometimes and why, you know, this is his buddy, you know. This is everything to him, you know. Chewie left his family to be with Han. So you can imagine the love he has for him. And just that scene where he's just cuddling him, you know. And Han's just patting his arms like, hey, buddy, I'm here, buddy. It's me and you. Everything's going to be okay. Just one of those feel-good scenes, Chris. I love it. Love it.
All right, Mick. Next up for me, I'm going to stay with Empire Strikes Back. And this one is only 20 seconds.
We've got to go back.
What?
I know where Luke is.
What about those spiders?
Chewie, just do it.
All right.
Yes. I love that little bit there. It's like, okay, they're trying to get away. Chewie's trying to get them out. And Han had told Chewie that he had to look after Leia. So as soon as she said, we need to do this, he's like, okay, no questions asked. But it just cracks me up when he just leans out of the chair back towards Lando like he's trying to bite him or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I love it. That's just a great moment.
Yeah, he barks at me. You know, and that's an excellent point because we did hear that earlier in the movie that, you know, now that Han is in custody and he's going to be gone, you know, he tells him, like you said, it's her now. It's all about the princess. You know, you got to make sure she's okay. You know, you got to keep, you know, it's like transferring Chewie's responsibility from Han, transferring it to Leia. And he's going to do that, and he's going to protect her and with his life if he has to. And here's, you know, I'm sure Chewie had the same feelings. Like, you know, I don't know if it's a good idea to go back there, but it's Leia says we got to do it, and she's going to have a good reason. We're going back, and there's no one else that's going to stop him to do it, especially Lando. You know, he ain't going to tell him anything. You know, he's just choking him a few minutes ago. He ain't going to listen to Lando about not going back. So, yeah, really cool scene, him backing up Princess Leia and going back to save Luke as well. I got two more, Chris. I'll save. I got, of course, my favorite one I'll save to last. But this is one of those ones that probably the most humorous to me, the one I had the most fun with. And, again, we're going to Return of the Jedi.
I don't...
Kicking some butt on some other AT-STs. But you know what? Are you kidding me? Chewie does the Tarzan yell. I mean, how great is that? Come on. That's some great stuff. I mean, we're talking Return of the Jedi. He steals, first of all, probably, like I said, the funniest Chewie moment for me. You know, and the Tarzan yell, I mean, come on, as he swings on to the AT-ST, I mean, it's so great. The comedic moments in this scene work so well for me. And I I just laugh every time I see this. You know, he's Chewie. He's on top of the, you know, he swings over there. He gets on top of the AT-ST. The Ewoks, they start driving the thing. You know, he's on the top, just kind of falling all over the place. He's like, what the heck is going on? These Ewoks are taking over. You know, and he ducks his head in there, and he's throwing guys out. And then he gets into the thing, and they're all doing this together, shooting down together AT-ST, and eventually coming to save, to help Han out. But yeah, it's just one of those favorite scenes, the comedy in that, as they're driving around and the Ewoks are doing their thing, and one of them's picking at Chewie like he's you know, he's getting lice off him or something crazy, you know. It's just, God, what a fun scene that was. And of course the Tarzan yell, I love that. I mean, them putting that in there had to be one of those things where they thought about this, going, you know, are we going to go too far with having Chewie do the Tarzan yell? I wonder if they ever thought of that, you know. But I tell you what, I loved it. You know, I thought that was just perfect for Chewie. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I love the Tarzan yell. And normally you would think that I'd be like, oh, that just doesn't fit, but it's perfect.
Yeah, so, I know. Yeah, yeah.
I love it when he's on top and the Ewoks have gone down. They're already inside, and they start to move, and he's on top, and he just about throws him off.
Right, he almost goes off. Yeah.
Just, it is. It's a great scene. It's not one that I'd put on my list, but it is a great scene. A lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, them two Ewoks in there with him is just really, really makes it.
Yeah, you know, like I said, a lot of talk has been about, you know, how, you know, the Ewoks and how everybody had a problem with them, apparently. But I don't know. They had some pretty good moments in there, even though they're kind of furry little fun creatures. But, man, they had some good moments in Return of the Jedi. Gotta love the Ewoks. Come on, people. Go ahead, Chris. What do you got?
I got two left, and this one right here will sound a little familiar.
Okay.
But anyway.
Chewie, is that you? Chewie! I can't see, pal. What's going on? Luke's crazy. He can't even take care of himself, much less rescue anybody. A Jedi Knight. I'm out of it for a little while. Everybody gets delusions of grandeur. All right, pal. All right.
Hey, we kind of matched on one of there, Chris.
Yeah, we
all
matched
right.
One. I love that. To me, like a lot of what you said, that there's just so much heart that this scene cements their relationship. It shows you exactly what they're about and how close they are. I think that's so great, because when he gets thrown in there, you hear just a very light grunt.
Mm-hmm, right.
And for him, it's like, Chewie? I can't see him. And there's humor in there, because it's like, easy, easy, I can't see. And he's just shaking him. And
yeah, yeah.
It's a wonderful scene. One of my absolute favorites because of it.
Oh, yeah. You know, like I kind of forgot to mention, you just kind of mentioned it right there, Chris. I mean, he's so excited to see Han, you know? I mean, the last time you saw him, he was in Carbonite. So, yeah, I mean, he's just thoroughly excited. It's like a dog when you come home. For those of you that have dogs or whatever animals, when you come home, you know, the tail is shaking really fast, you know, and they're jumping up on you. They, you know, they're so happy to see you. I mean, this is the same thing right here. You know, it's Chewie. He hasn't seen his good buddy in so long. And it's just like, you know, he's got to hug him and squeeze him. And hey, Han's just like, hey, man, it's okay, man. We're all good now. So, yeah, we did. I figured we'd cross on one of these sooner or later, Chris. So, definitely. So I'm going to finish out, Chris, my last one, and we'll get to your last one. Hopefully I don't pick the same one as you, but if we do, I can understand why. This is definitely my favorite Chewbacca moment.
What's going on, buddy? You're being put into carbon freeze.
What if he doesn't survive? He's worth a lot to me.
The Empire will compensate you if he dies. Put him in.
No, stop! 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 Stop!
I'm not ready to die. Hey, listen to me. Chewie. Chewie, this won't help me. Hey.
Save your strength. There'll be another time. The princess. You have to take care of her.
You hear me? Huh?
Tell you what, you know, like I said, it's my favorite scene, and there's a lot going on here. You know, it's we've talked some other sides of this particular moment, but you know, for me, I mean, you can just listen to it. I mean, like I said, my favorite Chewie moment. I love the scene. Once again, Chewie doesn't have to say a word, Chris. He's not going to go down without a fight. I mean, he's got Vader there, stormtroopers, Boba Fett. All of them are right there, and he doesn't even care. You know, he shows that he's going to put up a fight. You know, he's going to fight for Han. He's going to do what he has to do. It doesn't matter who's there, what he's got to go against. He's going to sacrifice himself if he has to. And that scene, you know, and it's Han, and he's telling Chewie, you know, hold on, Chewie, this isn't the time. You know, we talked about earlier. You know, you got to stay. You got to watch over the princess. You got to keep her safe. And you can see Chewie, he's torn up about it. You know, he's doing his little moans and his groans. He can't, you know, he's trying to tell Han, I'm sure he's trying to say, you know, come on, you know, we got to fight. And Han's going, no, you know, this isn't the time. There'll be another time for a fight. And this is not it. You know, you gotta deal with the situation. And we'll try to live to fight another day. But yeah, I just love this. I mean, Chewie just going berserk, Chris, you know, he's had it. And like I said, he doesn't care who's in there. You know, you got a Sith. You got stormtroopers. You got the baddest bounty hunter in the galaxy. Doesn't care. He's going to fight for Han. So definitely my favorite moment, my favorite Chewbacca moment. Chris, what do you got for your last one? Are we on?
That is my favorite.
Is it?
And I'm not going to go ahead and play it since you just did. But, I mean, absolutely. When he just flips out, like, this ain't happening. He starts throwing stormtroopers. And you're just like, and they make it look really good.
Yeah.
It literally looks like, I mean, he is throwing these people around. And I love it. And, you know, it takes Chewie, takes Han yelling at him a couple of times just to even get his attention. He finally is like, okay. You know, he'll do what he asks only because of his debt and how he, you know, the fact that how he feels about him. But, I mean.
Yeah.
I still find it very interesting that Vader stops Boba Fett from firing.
Yeah. Good point.
And, you know, it's come up that I always assumed, okay, he was trying to shoot the Wookiee. And some people say, okay, he stopped him because, you know, didn't want him to kill him. Or he didn't want to hit 3PO because he made him. You know, I've heard all kinds of stuff, but I always, as a kid, that could be one of your things.
Hey, yeah.
Why does he stop Boba Fett from shooting them when he lets them go anyway?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. Now, I mean, I don't think that Boba Fett would have been shooting at Han because he would have been shooting at Chewie because he was the one going berserk. You know, that's interesting. That'd be something that I would mind asking George about. Say, hey,
right,
lightness.
Yeah, this is a good point. That scene, you're right. As Chewie's going crazy, he does stop Boba Fett. And maybe he's trying to make sure he doesn't hit Han. I don't know, because he's got to save him for the chamber just to make sure it works. Not that, you know, if it's Vader shooting, he'll probably just throw the stormtrooper in there. You know, what's the big deal? But. Yeah, that's really a good question. What is the why? You know, I just think, like I said, maybe he even knew that, you know, obviously it wasn't going to go anywhere. You got stormtroopers everywhere. Sooner or later, they're gonna lock him down. But maybe, or, you know, maybe he doesn't want him to miss and hit Leia. Also is standing there. You know, you got Han, like I said. So there's, you know, definitely some collateral damage if Boba Fett were to miss. Now, does he miss? I don't. He's the baddest bounty hunter in the galaxy. Would he miss? I don't know. So, interesting question. Yeah, interesting question. But no doubt that we did agree on our favorite moment there. That is, wow, that is just a fantastic scene. I mean, so much emotion going on there. And it obviously ends with Han going into the chamber and Chewie continues to cry, basically, and howl at his buddy. Because he doesn't know, Chris. I mean, like they said, this is a test. If he dies, you know, he dies. You know, but so... Yeah,
exactly. They don't know, so...
Right, as far as Chewie thinks, you know, he could be dying. That's, again, why he's fighting for Han right there. I mean, he thinks maybe Han's going to die anyway. So, if Han's going to die, I'm going to go out trying to save him as well. So, powerful scene. Great. Wonderfully acted by Harrison Ford. Just one of those perfect scenes. So, that, folks, is some of our favorite Chewbacca moments. And sure, Chewbacca doesn't talk. But, of course, we understand what he says thanks to all of his context and his body language. You know, he's full of all that. He's full of wisdom and everything. And, of course, Chris, you probably know this. Of course, Chewbacca was inspired by George Lucas's dog, Indiana. He used to ride in the front seat of the car with George. And he was a big, I can't remember, was he like a sheepdog or something like that? I can't remember exactly what dog it was.
Alaskan Malamute.
Malamute. There you go. That's right. That's right. So... Yeah, you know, here's a dog, and of course, makes perfect sense. You know, you got Chewbacca in the pilot seat of the Millennium Falcon, so it's kind of where the inspiration for Chewbacca. So again, one of those fantastic characters, and of course, we think of him, Chris, as part of the Big Four. Let's not call it the Big Three. Let's call it the Big Four. You got to throw Chewie in there. So that's gonna do it for this week, Chris. Our favorite Chewbacca moments. But before we go. Just a few things we want to remind everybody about, Chris. Of course, the classic Star Wars page. Tell them about that. Tell them where we're at with that.
Yeah, our page. We got facebook.com/StarlightPitPodcast. We're going to stop by there. But our big page that we is facebook.com/ClassicStarWars. And that page is blown up, especially in the last month. We're right now up to 62,000. Likes. It's just been a fantastic page. So many people interacting with the page. It really is a great page. So if you like classic Star Wars, then be sure to jump on there and like it. We also have one from Modern Star Wars. Facebook.com/Modern Star Wars. And of course, our Twitter is at Sarlacc Pit Cast. And then our email address, podcast@galacticfinder.com.
Yes. Hopefully you guys will continue to interact with us. Like I said, Facebook, you got Twitter, you got the classic Star Wars page, which is a fantastic site. Like I said, you know, I'm a fan of that. I'm like part of the, we have a big team of admins on there, but I'm just a fan of the page, because if you're a fan of Star Wars and especially, of course, the original trilogy, there's just so much stuff. I mean, it's one of those things where you just go to every day and you get a cool little shot, a behind the shot, the behind the scenes shot or something. It seems like there's always something that I haven't seen there. So it's just a fun page to go to. And of course, we got a ton of bloggers on that page and podcasters from all over the place, all different Star Wars podcasts. Chris was cool enough to just let everybody enjoy this page and use it as an outlet. You don't see that a lot with podcasts. So that's huge that Chris did that. So again, if you know, Sarlacc Pit Podcast, you can find us anywhere. Just Google us, man, and interact with us and send us emails if you'd like, or as people have done in the past, send us some voicemails, whatever you want to do, man. Just interact with us, man. That's what we're here for. By the fans, for the fans, and with the fans, of course. But that's going to do it for this week, Chris. Anything else before we sign off?
No, you mentioned the voicemail, and I didn't mention that.
Yeah.
GalacticBinder.com, click on our podcast tab across the top, and it'll take you to our podcast page, and right there will be a SpeakPipe button that you can conveniently just click on it and start recording, and then it'll drop it in for us, and we can get it and we'll play it on the show.
Excellent. You know what to do, guys. Get on it. Get on it out there. Hey, but that's going to do it for this week, and hopefully we'll be back in not too long, because we might get some news, and we got New York Comic-Con going on, and hopefully we'll get Mark from Yoda's News to come back and give us some new tidbits and news from anything that comes out of there. So we could be back in a few weeks. with some new stuff. So stay tuned for that. So for Chris, my name is Matt. Thank you for making us part of your Star Wars day. We'll see you guys next time in the Sarlacc Pit. Man, we still did an hour and a half, Chris. Rolling, man. We got some tons of stuff.
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com.